Hey, Reality Daily, what is going on? This is Jeremy here. We are talking all things Challenge All-Stars 4, Episode 4. And Naveed's out this week again, but I've got Wyatt here with me to talk all things the Challenge. Wyatt, what's up?
You know, I thought I was Cyrus. You know, I thought I was coming in for like one episode and one episode only. But like, I think I'm Killer Cam. I think I'm running this game.
I wouldn't get ahead of yourself there, Wyatt. You're more like Tony at this point.
Yeah. Am I going to leave mid-episode?
You might. If you get dropped in the call, don't be surprised. But yeah, so let's just pick things up from where we left off. So as we saw in the previous episode of the double elimination, we saw Cyrus and Ayana go, but Rachel chose to give her star away from Tina and to Veronica instead of targeting Kara's star. And obviously, we know that Rachel, Tina, and Veronica are a trio, so it would have made sense for her to take Kara's star, but Wyatt, it seems like she's playing the long game with this one.
Well, you know, she is working with Kara. Like, they were talking about, like, hey, like, it would be beneficial for us to, like, have stars. So I didn't expect her to do it. You know, last week I was saying that I really thought that she was going to take from Steve. Because I said, well, if she takes from Steve, then maybe she can give to Brad, who was her partner during the Dominoes. That's what I expected her to do. But I do think that she ended up doing the best thing, which is like, listen, no harm, no foul. You know, I'm going to give it from one friend, give it to another. And I think what people aren't talking about is like, it's the elephant in the room where it's like, yeah, you need these stars to be able to run the final, but like, how much game do you have left, like, to be able to get these stars? Like, you know that there's only like two people have left, right? So you have so much time to get it. You don't necessarily have to make sure that all your allies have the stars right now. You can still try to like weed out some of the weak, because if you take a star right now, you're probably going to get it stolen from you at some point.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're playing the numbers, you have 20 people left in the game, 6 are going to make the final, 7 eliminations to go, essentially, for each gender. 7 male eliminations, 7 female eliminations before the final. But also, at the same time, we don't know how many people are going to get purged. I would imagine there is a purge of some sort in this season. Just knowing that the All-Stars seasons are not as long as the flagship seasons. I think last season we had 10 episodes, so we'll probably see something similar to that for this season. So yeah, and at that point, hey, we're already 4 episodes in. We're almost at the halfway point of this season, Wyatt.
Yeah, I'm thinking that they will do men's elimination next week, and then I think that we'll probably go into the doubles. I think they probably want to stay away from the purges if possible. Just because I don't think anybody likes them. I don't think the fans like them or anything. I don't think they really do a whole lot of purpose, especially for a cast like this. I mean, can you imagine if, like, you know, you have like Cam or somebody gets, you know, purged as opposed to getting some comeuppance or somebody from a minority alliance? I don't know. I just don't think that would go over very well. So I do think that we may see some double eliminations happening in episode 6 onward.
Yeah. I mean, like, going back, we really haven't seen single eliminations since All-Stars 1, where we saw, like, one person was eliminated each episode. Then they were eventually moving to double eliminations, and then they had, you know, a whole bunch of people in the final. I think over half the cast made the final in that first season. Obviously, things are a little different. We know there are only 6 people making the final this time, so there is going to be eliminations coming, but there still is a lot of people left in the game. So yes, you do want to play a little bit safer at this point in the game. I don't blame the people that are wanting to play safer at this point in the game. And so that's why I think Rachel's choice in giving the star to Veronica instead of Tina is justified here.
Jeremy, I just thought of something. What about if they pull like an island? You know how, like, in the island, you had the keys, but at the end, they had a thing where, like, whoever gets, like, the last star, they can, whoever they take it from, they're just, like, eliminated.
I mean, maybe. I have a hard time seeing there being elimination outside of an elimination. Like, you lose an elimination, you're done. Like, I feel like that is, like, fair.
Yeah, I definitely agree that I wouldn't like that. And I'm trying to think, like, if you have this, like segment where it's, like, only six people can make my final, and you got to make sure you have a star, I do wonder, like, is there going to be people that are going to get eliminated just because they don't have a star, like, outside of elimination? You know, whether
they, well, that's what I'm saying, like, that's like a purge. Like,
yeah, but it's not, like, when I think purge, I think of, like, you get last place in the daily, you're out.
Well, I think we could see that, but I could also see, like, okay, there are 10 people left. The six people with stars are in, the four people with stars are out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, they do this because they want more people in for more storylines, more opportunities, and more just enticing storylines, you know, later in the season. That's what we saw in the Challenge 39, where, you know, we saw single eliminations each week, and we saw a bunch of non-eliminations, and then right when the end of the season was about to hit, you know, that's when they started cutting people. There were, I think, 2/3 of the cast still in the game with 4 weeks to go.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it goes. I imagine we'll get 12 episodes this season.
Maybe. Now, that would change things a little bit, but there would be some episodes where people got to go.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see that more towards the latter half of the season. But yeah, let's get into this daily. Let's just get right into it. In this week, the daily challenge is called Unbraided Reloaded, and they're going to play in four teams of five. And each team is going to be on a separate side of this, you know, semi truck. And the truck is moving, and they basically have to take all of their ropes that are attached to something above, and then they have to, like, untangle themselves, and then after they're done untangling themselves, they have to work through, like, a table maze, which isn't really a table maze because it's on a table, but you have to work through a maze and get this, you know, peg out of the maze. And the team that does it the fastest is safe. The second team is going to be also safe, but they are the middle group, so they have to make the choice of who goes in between the bottom two teams. Were you surprised, Wyatt, to see there being two teams in the bottom as opposed to one?
I was surprised, but I'm also, like, happy about it too, right? Because I think that gave us a lot more flexibility in terms of who could be thrown in. I like the idea of, like, a smaller group of people voting, especially since I think we kind of have an idea of, like, who's aligned with who at this point, or, you know, in the case of somebody like Ace, like, you know, you're just aligned with nobody, I guess. We kind of have an idea of where the lines are drawn. So I do kind of like, instead of having this, like, majority where it's a little bit more predictable of who's going to go in, I do like having the smaller one because I do think there's a little bit more room for predictability. And also, I think people are willing to make a little bit more moves when there's less people in play.
Yeah, so there were two teams that struggled during this. The green team, which had Adam, Kiefla, Leroy, Nicole, and Rachel, they thought that they were going to have a really easy time with it. They had a lot of people with stars, a lot of the stronger players in the game, but they just did not find a rhythm. And then you also have the orange team with Ace, Brad, Kara, Flora, and Veronica. Those two teams just did not get it done. The red team finished in second. They formed the middle group here. That would be Avery, Brandon, Jasmine, Jay, and Tina. But then the top group, which I think they won very clearly. Derek, Cam, Laurel, Ryan, and Steve. And we see that Cam and Laurel are going to take the lead on this one.
Yeah. I just didn't like the challenge because I felt like it was hard to really follow along. And it was good from the confessional standpoint. People had great confessionals. I think they were really able to articulate what was going on. But we couldn't really see, like, what did the teams need to do to be able to get untangled. We really couldn't see the maze because their fucking tits and penises were in the way. So it was just hard for a viewer perspective. Similar to Domino's. Domino's was rough last week, too, because you couldn't even see what dominoes they were putting down. You couldn't see all the pieces. You couldn't know, you know, this team's actually going to have a problem going forward. I feel like the challenges have been a little bit wonky this season.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from TJ after the challenge that it is a girls' elimination day. So that puts a few people on the block. It's going to put Kara at risk, Flora at risk, Nicole Rachel and Veronica. So five people are going to be up for elimination, and only five people are going to decide. That's the red team: Avery, Brandon, Jasmine, Jay, and Tina. And when you have players like Nicole, like Rachel, like Kara in the bottom, you know, this is an opportunity to strike for a major target. But Kara is going to feel pretty safe because she has Brandon, Jasmine, and Jay, all of whom have her back. And she's going to learn this episode that that probably wasn't the case.
Yeah, this was really like the perfect storm, right? Like, if you have to pick one of these teams to be in the middle, this would be the team that you would pick, because Jay has only been on one challenge, right? His loyalties are few and far between. Avery hasn't been on but one challenge, one real challenge, I guess, that she actually got to stay on. You know, Tina is a little bit volatile, and Jasmine and I guess I didn't think Brandon, but, you know, it seems like they're able to kind of think on their own as well. So I think this was just the perfect storm of, like, the right people in the bottom and the right people in power.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw who was voting and who was up for elimination, I really thought, I did think Rachel was in trouble, because as good as Rachel is at the overall challenges, she doesn't have the same relationships. She doesn't have the same social game, I should say. Nor does she have the relationships that, you know, to back them up. Obviously, she has Veronica and Tina, but we really don't see much else outside of that. And more so, like, I think her strategy is, you know, the other people are going to be just threatened by me, and they're not going to want to touch me. And yeah, they're not going to want to touch you. They want to throw you in elimination when they're safe. So I really thought Rachel was definitely going to be an option to go in. You know, Tina was probably the only person that would have been against a choice like that. We saw, you know, how Avery is not really on their side. Brandon, Jasmine, and Jay have no real connection to them. But yeah, so I thought Rachel was going to go in. I did not think that Kara was going to go in. I thought that I was thinking, honestly, that Flora was a candidate to go in here, or even Nicole, because I mean, I guess with Nicole, like, Jay's going to back Nicole, but no one really else has any super loyalties towards Rachel. And by throwing Flora in, Wyatt, it's a waste, unless you're really trying to get Flora out. But and that's what they did last week with Ayana and Rachel. Like, Rachel went in because Ayana was the target, but Flora has no business being anybody's target at this point. So that's kind of why Rachel and Kara are the main targets. But, you know, Kara, I gotta say, the rust is showing here, because you would think that with Kara being the most experienced challenger amongst the group, that she would do a little bit more to try to save her behind. But she put too much trust in Brandon, Jasmine, and Jay, and it really wasn't justified.
It's one of these things that you really have to check in on your allies, right? Like, we've seen so many times in shows like Survivor Big Brother and even The Challenge, where, like, people say, oh, well, this person's got so many friends, you know, then, like, you know, are they even going to be loyal to me? And I think that's probably where Jasmine's frustration is mostly. Where I think Jasmine just feels like, yeah, like, maybe Kara does have my back, but how many other people's back does she have? Is she going to have Laurel's back over mine? Probably. Is she going to have, you know, Nelson's, you know, Brad? Yeah, probably. And then she starts to realize that, like, hey, even though Kara likes me, like, I'm just not her main priority. So, like, I shouldn't make her a priority. And I think that, like, Carr has to do a better job in saying, no, like, you're in my long-term plans here, even if that's not true. And I think in the case of, you know, Brandon, where it is genuine, from her perspective, I mean, you just got to make sure that you're signaling this. Now, maybe it wouldn't have changed anything. Maybe they get the big move-itis there. But I think if they felt like that Carr was going to keep them for the entirety of the game, they'd probably be like, okay, well, I don't want that to take the shot at her. I don't, like, maybe I do want her out before the final, but I don't necessarily want to do it because it's somebody that would have my back and keep me out of elimination. Maybe somebody that would give me a star if they're able to win. But I do have a question for you, Jeremy. What do you think about this? Do you believe that this was done, like Cara Maria being overthrown here, was only because Cam asked them to do it and they are aligned more with Cam than Carr? Or do you really think that they had the big move itis here? Because the way I look at it is this. If this was a guy's day, would we have seen like a Leroy potentially be thrown out there? Because he would be the equivalent, right? But if you're with Cam, then you wouldn't have touched him. And you might have seen somebody like a Brad versus an Adam or something like that. Do you believe that these people are just saying, hey, we got to get the big threats out and we got to go gung-ho? Or do you think they're really drawing their line in the sand and saying, hey, I'm going to be playing this game with Cam and Leroy, and you know they're not on Cara Maria's side, so I have to pick a side, and this is the side I'm going to be on?
That's a good question. A little bit of both, probably. Somewhere in the middle, the truth lies. Because I really do feel like Brandon, based on the edit, was the one that was like pushing for this to happen. Like, I don't know. Like, that's not to say that Jasmine wouldn't have done it on her own. But I think because she had Brandon's support, you know, she felt more confident in pulling this move off. She didn't want to just do something to do something, right? Like, she wanted to do something and know that she had support from other people to do so. And when there's five people, you know, you really only need two other people to make a move. So, you know, I think what you alluded to with being a perfect storm, I think that's what happens here. And yeah, I do think there is reason to target bigger players. You know, last round they went for Ayana, and I don't think Ayana was seen as this big threat in the house. So I do think that maybe there was more of a desire to really target a bigger player here, with Kara or Rachel both being in the bottom. I think that also kind of, you know, pushed for that to happen. But I really do think that Brandon is the main catalyst for this move. Now, whether or not Brandon did this to protect Leroy and Cam, I think is a moot point. You know, Brandon basically was saying how, you know, I like Kara, and I feel like Kara is one of those people, like, we can pick up where we left off and nothing's changed, but it is a solo game, and Kara is really good at the game. And if there is an opportunity to get her out, this is a chance, because Rachel's also in the bottom. And so Rachel's probably one of the few people that they feel is capable of beating Kara in an elimination. So I think that they struck while the iron was hot. But it also sets the tone for the rest of the game, right? Where, you know, people are going to target people with stars. People are going to target people who can win a final. And that's something that we really haven't seen a whole lot of in the challenge All-Stars format. You know, it seems like everyone's kind of played a little bit more of a conservative game, and to see that change here in All-Stars 4 is really nice to see. I think Brandon and Jasmine were the main catalyst of this move. Jay clearly didn't want to do it, otherwise he would have just said, you know, I'll vote for Cara too. It doesn't make sense for me to vote for Laura. Yeah, I think that Brandon and Jasmine were the true catalysts of this move happening. We get to the vote, and I believe Avery is the first to vote.
Yeah.
And she's going to vote for Kara and Veronica. Brandon's going to vote for Kara and Rachel. I think Brandon might have actually been the first one to vote. Brandon votes for Kara and Rachel. Avery's going to vote for Kara and Veronica. We're going to see Jay vote for Flora and Rachel. Jasmine's going to vote for Kara and Rachel. And then Tina is the last one to vote. And she does this on purpose. And, you know, Tina has gotten an edit of being a bad player, at least a bad social player. And, you know, but I honestly think that, like, I hated that they put her, like, in this spot on the edit. Because no matter if she voted first, second, or last, Rachel was going in. And there really wasn't a whole lot for Tina to do. So I do think that Tina makes a very smart decision here to vote for Cara and Rachel, because there was literally no point in voting for other people and to ruin her game. And she mentions that. And Rachel talks about how she's upset that her friend sent her in, but didn't you take her star the previous episode? Like, aren't you trying to make decisions that are good for all of y'all's games, even if it hurts someone on the surface? You know, so I really didn't know. I don't know if like, I think Rachel was just kind of in her feels in that moment. But yeah, I really do think that, like, this vote was Jasmine and Brandon's doing, and I think the others were kind of just stuck.
Yeah, I disagree with you when it comes to Tina. I actually think that her going along was not a good move. And the reason why is because it is clear to the people that are in this game that she is working with Veronica and Rachel because they are always together. And they know for a fact that if she was the tiebreaker, then it wouldn't have been Rachel because she didn't have any conversations with anybody about Rachel potentially going in where she was like advocating for that. So I think it just makes her come off a little bit weak, like somebody who can kind of be pushed around. And like, do you want to work with that person? Like if you're somebody like, say, a Steve or you're somebody like an Avery, like, do you really want to work with Tina? Like if she's willing to kind of just go with the flow and kind of like push her friend under the bus, even though she didn't really push her, she kind of just did like didn't do anything. She didn't call the ambulance before it hit or anything. I just don't know if people are going to want to work with her at all. I also believe that this may be a hot take. I don't know. I've seen most of the discourse online seems to be people are against Brandon's move here against Car Maria. I am for the move, but I am for the move for the long game. And the long game is to get called back. You know, Brandon has had arguably the worst history on the challenge in terms of his luck. It gets on Fresh Meat. He gets paired with Caitlin, who is like one of the worst competitors ever, right? He gets disqualified, doesn't even get to go into elimination. Now, granted, it's his fault. He drank alcohol the day before, but whatever. He gets disqualified. He goes on Cutthroat. He's considerably thrown into elimination by Brad multiple times, wins, you know, four eliminations, I think. No, three eliminations, loses his fourth elimination, where he has to go against Derek Kay and basically pole wrestle. Kind of a tough matchup there, knowing his ability. Then he comes back for Rivals. He's paired with Ty, a guy that everybody can't stand, to the point that Ty got punched, like, on the first night there. And you're going against teams like Kenny and Wes and, like, you know, Tyler and Bananas and CT. And it's, like, it's just such a strong cast that you just couldn't do it with Ty. Keep in mind, Ty is a guy that gassed out in the elimination in Cutthroat, and that's who he's paired with. He comes back for Battle of the Seasons, and yes, he is paired with Carl Maria and Camilla, but he's also paired with fucking Big Easy, and they're targeted because they're like the last entrance. They're like, they come like the next day, so everybody makes them public enemy number one, so he has to go into eliminations pretty quickly on in that season. And then he comes back for his final season, which is Free Agents. He finally gets the opportunity to play an individual game, and guess what happens? He has to face Zach and basically Hall Brawl. Like, it's just, he just never caught a break, and I feel like he was always liked. And I think when he says, like, I always told myself if I ever came back, I would gun after the threats. That YOLO, that kind of like play like a veteran mentality, haunts him. And although I don't think it's a smart move for him to win this season, unless he is like with Cam, like if he's just siding with Cam, I think he probably can still win. But if he's just going after big threats, it won't pan out for him. But that's what got him the call for 40, I think. This is probably what gets him the call for another season potentially. So I do like it from his longevity. If it's just like, I just want to come back, I just want to be back in the mix, this is the way to do it. Because otherwise, I don't know if he was going to have a memorable season.
Yeah. But also, like, another thing too, I guess Free Agents was in, they filmed in 2013. So he's been 10 years out of the challenge. To get back, you know, you want to treat it like it's your last chance. You don't know if you're ever going to get this opportunity again, because I'm sure he's probably thought of for the previous All-Stars season and just didn't get a call. So he's probably like, okay, like this may be it. Might as well go for it. And that's what I like about Brandon here. And I do think he makes the right choice. Because the thing with Kara, like, and yes, maybe Kara isn't the right person to get out here. But, I mean, who else would they have targeted?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious Nicole? Thing that they probably, I mean, they could have done Veronica and Flora. I think that's kind of where Rachel? I thought. Well, I was going to say Veronica and Flora.
That's a weak move.
Yeah. Well, I agree that it's a weak move, but I mean, like, I didn't expect them to do anything other. I mean, like, you know, when you look at the challenge season, specifically All-Stars, I mean, people don't typically make moves on these spinoff shows, right? Like, it really just comes down to, like, who is known, who's friends with who. And I just looked at it as, like, hey, Veronica probably doesn't have too many connections. Flora definitely doesn't. So I expected them to kind of do the most boring move, especially since allies like Cara Maria and Nicole were there. That were there. So I agree with you that they did make a strong move. I just think that it's going to come back to bite specifically Brandon in the ass this season. But I do think that's probably what got him the call for the Challenge 40.
Perhaps.
Especially since he's on the same team as Cara in that season.
Yeah, maybe there's something there. But I'll say this. There's this tendency where, I guess, if, you know, with the house goes... If the house goes big, you've got to go big. And even though the house didn't make the choice to put Cara in the bottom, you know, the challenge did. You know, if the challenge gave you Cara and Rachel and Nicole in the bottom, you've got to go big. And that's why I don't have a problem with what Brandon does here. And look, it's a risk. It's absolutely a risk. And you run the risk of Cara coming back. But at least with this scenario, you know, you're getting someone big out of the game. And I think that that was kind of another motive for Brandon and Jasmine to make this move is, hey, you know, maybe Cara does have our back, but this is the only way we can guarantee a big threat goes home. Because if Rachel goes down there against Flora, we have no idea what's going to happen. If Flora goes down there with Veronica, that is nothing for us. You know, so I think they just did what the game... You know, they played the hand that they were dealt. And, you know, whether or not they have consequences from it, you know, so be it. At least they are playing, like, eventually you're going to face consequences either way, because that's just how the challenge is. Eventually they're going to be in an elimination or up for elimination at some point. And at least they're doing something about their fate while they can. So I'm always going to give credit to players that do that. So Brandon and Jasmine get my credit here. And I understand Jay's perspective as well. Like, I don't think that Jay is necessarily a pussy because he didn't go for Cara. You know, he felt the most loyalty towards Cara. And there's something to be said for that. You know, Jay, but I also think that kind of goes to show you, like, Jay's game versus Brandon and Jasmine, you know. Brandon and Jasmine, if they really felt like Cara was their only ally, they wouldn't have gone for her. You know, yeah. So they do feel support from the rest of the house. Jay probably doesn't feel that. You know, Jay, I believe on Jay's season, was Cara there?
I don't believe so, because she didn't have another ex besides Abram at the time. I don't even think anybody on this season was there besides Avery.
Avery, yeah. But either way, you know, Jay appears to have some loyalties, and like Cara, Nicole, those people. And so he obviously wasn't going to put in Nicole. And if he wasn't going to put in Cara, then that, you know, that limits him to Flora, Veronica, Rachel. And, I think that he made the right choice for his game. And look, I don't think people are going to target Jay because he didn't go for Cara. You know, so that's another thing, too. A very interesting vote. Definitely the most interesting we've had so far this season. And I'm hopeful that we get these smaller voting groups again, because when there's smaller voting groups, you know, there's little place to hide. And we got that in this one. And there was drama because of it.
Yeah, I'd even be fine with it being duos. Like, if it was like, you know, one duo, or maybe two duos in the middle, and then you have like four or five duos to choose from, especially if they go into like the doubles, like we were mentioning earlier.
Yeah. But I'm glad we got some drama in the vote, because we did not get the drama that we were hoping for when you get Cara and Rachel. We knew that this was a possibility, that Cara and Rachel were going to have an elimination of some sort. And we get freaking dark. The elimination.
I mean, it's not completely darts. It's a little bit different.
It's basically darts, but for you know, for formal standpoint, it's called Star Slice. They have to throw these like ninja stars at a big wall with targets. Some of them have advantages, some of them have disadvantages, but they're trying to hit the opponent's face. And there's three different spots on the board where they have to hit in order to win. And it comes down to the last one, where it's between Carr and Rachel. And there's not a lot of drama that's attached to the whole game. They both suck at the beginning, but then they suck kind of throughout, honestly. Rachel gets ahead, but Carr is right there. And eventually Carr is going to be the one that hits the third target before Rachel, and she's going to win the elimination. Would have loved to see last week's elimination for this one, because I really feel like we would have gotten a much more exciting competition. Carr probably still wins. If it's that particular elimination, the tube one, but we're going to see Kara, pull this one out. What did you think of this elimination and Kara's win?
Yeah, we really blew our wad here in terms of getting like a more exciting elimination last week when the competition was kind of one-sided in here. Listen, I didn't hate the challenge. I think it could have been better. My thing is this, is I think the challenges should always be, the elimination, excuse me, should always be a little epic. And I think that just throwing things at a target by taking turns isn't epic in any way, shape, or form. And I think that if I had to kind of workshop this challenge a little bit, I would probably have them maybe climb up a rock wall and like pull out like the knives one by one and put them on the table. And once they get them all, then they can start to throw. I just think that it was missing a little bit of that down to the wire element. And I think a lot of it was because they were taking turns. Maybe if they were throwing like on opposite sides or whatever. I mean, I guess that would be maybe a hazard, right? The way they were throwing it, they may end up throwing it over the board and hit their opponent. But I just feel like it should have been a little bit better. I can almost tell you that Naveed is probably smashing his Ethernet cable and router because, you know, he hates the carnival games. He talked about a lot during Challenge USA 2, and I feel like that's what he's got. I did find it hilarious, though, that you see Rachel and Carr, who are pretty jacked, and they're like struggling at something that a lot of people consider to be pretty basic. Kind of reminds me of Corey and Nelson from Mendez when they were kicking the soccer ball and like none of them could kick it. Like they couldn't kick it. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
I got those vibes from the elimination as well. And yeah, I think that, look, this would have been an interesting elimination in some capacity, just not in this one. We got two of the biggest stars in the house who could have really delivered on elimination. We just didn't get that. It's unfortunate. But Carr is going to win, and she's going to have the opportunity to take someone's star. And based on how, or, well, she's not going to take someone's star, but because Rachel left with a star, she's going to have an opportunity to assign it to another female. She already has one, so she can't give it for herself. And she's going to look at this as a target. You know, the name of the episode was called Stargate, and that was referenced a few times. And we're learning that these players are really going to start to treat these stars as a possible target. Kara is going to give it to Jasmine because she feels betrayed by Jasmine for voting her in. And she hopes that this star will put a target on her back. Do you think that Jasmine having a star is going to make her more of a target? Because what we saw from Cam thought it was a bad move because she thought that people weren't going to target her because of it.
Yeah, I just don't even think that it like really has any consequence to it, right? It's like, yeah, people may steal her star, but it's like, okay, what the hell? Like, she's not going to have a star. She didn't have one to begin with. I don't think people are going to say, hey, I want to take Jasmine on an elimination so I can get a star. I think they're going to say, hey, I'll take on whoever, you know, preferably somebody like Flora or Jasmine. I mean, Jasmine probably is one of the weaker people, but it's like, hey, I want to take on somebody weak so I can get a star, and then I can just take it from whoever I want. I just don't think that people are going to say, like, hey, this is what's going to send Jasmine into elimination. I just don't foresee that.
I think we're going to get to a point. But at the end of the day, even if you win an elimination, you can take a star. So it doesn't matter who has the star or who doesn't, because at the end of the day, Jasmine could not have a star next week because some man takes it from her. You know, so yeah. It really, I don't think that the stars have as much of a weight to them as Carr is maybe perceiving. I think that it just so happened that the people that people wanted to target happened to have stars. And so that's kind of where her target came up to be. But in reality, like, Kara got a reality check in this episode. She realized that she doesn't have as many allies as she maybe thought, and she's got some work to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm interested to see how this progresses because, you know, we never really saw the fallout. You know, we saw, like, Kara crying, but what is Laurel thinking about this? And, you know, is Laurel upset? Is she somebody that's going to, like, defend Kara and, like, rally the troops with her? If that's the case, then Nicole's another person that would be in that group. You know, or they may be going to work with some of the OG women like Tina and Veronica, who now, you know, may not have anybody. It's interesting to see. I just wanted to hear the other people's reaction, the people that were aligned with Kara, mainly Laurel. Like, what was she? What's Brad thinking here? If people are talking about taking out big threats, you know, he's going to be on the short list of the guys, too, right? So I'm just interested to hear what, you know, are people going to rally around Kara, or is she really going to be almost like the Black Plague? I don't foresee that. I think people will work with Kara. And I don't necessarily know if I foresee her being right back in elimination anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, Kara has had, like, a very entitled run on the show, especially in recent seasons. She went through, I think, like, when she won Vendettas, you know, she was second on Dirty 30. She wins Vendettas. She gets close to winning. She makes the final in Final Reckoning. She makes the final in War of the Worlds. She makes the final in War of the Worlds 2. You know, so really, like, she hasn't really been challenged at any point in the last several challenges that she's been to. You have to go back to, like, Invasion, where she really faced, like, adversity.
War of the Worlds 2.
I'm looking, like, at her stats here, like, other than like Invasion, she loses to Laurel. And then in Free Agents, she loses to Laurel. The last time she lost an elimination to someone that wasn't Laurel was 2012 in Battle of the Seasons with, of course, Brandon as her partner.
Yeah. And that was like the not so fast elimination where they're like tying up the rope and the jungle gym and stuff. And that was, from what I remember, that was a pretty competitive elimination.
Yeah. So like since then, she's been on like 10 seasons or something. Rivals 2, Free Agents, Battle of the Bloodline, Invasion, Champs and Pros she wins. I'm counting that for this one just to kind of show the dominance of her run on the show. Dirty 30, she was second. Vendetta, she wins. Final Reckoning, she's a finalist. War of the World, she's a finalist. So in her last 10 seasons, the only person that has been able to take her out of elimination is Laurel. So she's been extremely entitled because her game is she makes the final every time. And she doesn't face a lot of adversity going into, like, maybe she gets into elimination once or twice, but as long as it's not Laurel on the other end, you know, she's probably winning. So that's why she hasn't had to play a whole lot of, like, strategic thinking. And look, I mean, I don't want to completely disregard her strategic, prowess. I mean, she clearly has, done good work outside of that. And there is an asterisk here. She does lose an elimination in Final Reckoning, with Marie to Nelson and Shane, but she returns in the very next episode in the redemption. So take that elimination out of it. Like, she's made the final every time. So I feel like there's a bit of an entitlement to her gameplay. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because, I mean, hey, she's been able to walk the walk, you know, she's been able to win, but she's got no allies here, and so she's going to have to go through eliminations a few times if she wants to make the final.
Yeah, definitely. She's going to have to put in work. And it's really going to come down to if somebody like Laurel will stick her neck out there, because Laurel's also going to be like, okay, well, if they're targeting Kara, like, I got to be next. So I do think that she will vouch for her. And I think that's good, because Laurel was probably going to be a little bit more convincing than someone like Kara, right? Once somebody's in elimination, they kind of have like the chicken pox, right? Like, nobody wants to be around them or anything like that. But when you have somebody that's not, you know, in elimination, or not somebody that's not on the bottom like Laurel, you know, she can try to like work the magic and try to get Kara back out instead of people sticking their neck out. They're now forming some type of coalition.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I think that Kara is going to play a little bit smarter, though, if she wants to not have to go into elimination every week. The thing is, though, is I really do think she could win every elimination up until the final. But yeah, we're going to get to a point where people like Laurel, people like Nicole, people like Cam feel the need to go down elimination and get their own star. And I don't know if they would do that against Kara. I think they may be more willing to do that against Jasmine or Veronica than Kara. So eventually I do think these stars are going to become more of a target, but I still think we are not at that point in the game yet. But yeah, this is going to be where we park for this week. Next week, we see a lot of Laurel and Nicole drama, which, you know, really goes to show that the women are the stars of the season. We're assuming it's a male elimination next week. But if the whole preview is about the women, you know, clearly that's who the stars are for the year.
Definitely. I mean, listen, just looking at the cast, right? Cam, Laurel, Kara. I mean, Nicole's obviously drama and a good competitor as well. You know, Rachel, even though, you know, rest in peace to her. But like, you know, the women carry the show in terms of the competition and the drama. You know, we see Laurel and Nicole's relationship drama. We didn't even really get into that, but that's obviously something that's going to play a major big part in the future episodes, right? So the men, in my opinion, are kind of like, most of them you could get rid of and the show wouldn't change in the negative at all. Like Steve, Ace, Adam, you can boot them. Like Leroy, maybe Brad, and the rest of it, we can just focus on the women.
Yeah. All right, that's going to be where we stop for this episode. Thank you so much to those that tune in every week listening to us. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if you're also into Survivor and The Amazing Race, we are covering those as well. So be sure to not miss a single episode. Make sure you know where you're getting your podcasts. And we'll see y'all for next week where we talk more Laurel, old drama. And until then, take it easy.